Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for spending your valuable time right here, Brighteon TV. Today, we're going to talk about the blueprint. I can't believe the WEF has given us another blueprint, how the collapse will unfold, which industries, which sectors will be involved, how they're all interlooped in amongst each other to the point that the entire system looks to be pulled from a single thread. The collapse will be all encompassing and vast, and you know what? Umu is here. I'm not talking about emus, the birds in South Africa. I'm talking about Umu, Universal Monetary Instrument, just unveiled from the International Monetary Fund. It will be a central bank digital currency. The one world collapse, the one world government, the one world currency is all here. Starting right now, we're going to run through it today. Stay with us. I hope you learned something and protect yourselves as we move forward.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quieter suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Many watching.
And welcome back, Brighteon TV. David Dubine here, Mini Ice Age Conversations, 2 to 3 p.m. every other Friday. Now, we've seen the world spin out of control in seemingly light speed fashion as all the events are just so encompassing, tidal waves of information and news releases. It's really difficult to keep up. I mean, anybody who out there is even reading the news, let alone trying to compile it and make sense of it all. Well, we have some sense of it all, finally. The final plan is given to us by the World Economic Forum, as well as the Fed now has just released all their participant banks and institutions. It would take me an entire program to read the thousands of banks and different monetary holders of your wealth and capital involved in the Fed now program, which swings us up into the newest release of the UMU. We'll talk about that, but really, what is the plan? So, you know, we've all seen this ridiculousness of you're going to eat insects. They're not really giving you a choice any longer. They're being snuck into foods, but that's kind of old news. It just gives you the trajectory. You're not going to have a choice unless we all say no at the same time. And it's been like that through history. Every time in a certain amount or a certain percentage of people start to say no, then have you noticed the narrative switches right or left? You know, it came with the COVID. People were really questioning the policy, starting to stand up and say no. And they knew that was going to be a massive mess if they were going to continue forward. So suddenly there's no more COVID on the planet. We've seen it again and again. How many times through your lifetimes have you seen something so absurd that enough people stand up and say no? And then it stopped and it disappears into the history, dustbin for a better term. So I'm going to run through this chart today. We're going to connect a bunch of dots. Literally, it is connected to the dots. The WEF already did it for us. What they're trying to do is create the most mass chaos event to then implement not only rationing, but police presence in stores and supermarkets and a curfew, et cetera. So we need to run through the dot connector here. Now, each sector is labeled by color. And what we want to do is we want to take a look at the blue, the green, and the orange is where the main points are. We've got the periphery of the technology coming off with the purple, but we want to focus in on the environment, the interstate conflict, which is orange, and then the big daddies down there, the blue. So as above, so below, the inverse of everything, the inverse of light is darkness, and that's what these people are all about. So When I look at the dots, don't be confused. The size is the main target. The smaller the dot will be the execution point for the thread pull. So when I look at this, we'll start down to the asset bubble burst. This will be all-encompassing enough to cause social chaos and have people begging for different options. But at the same time, all we're hearing about is supply chain constrictions, and then, you know, there's this runaway climate thing. But wait, you corporations were the one who never-ending, you know, threw advertisements in our face to cause more demand, studying human psychology to get us to buy more. And I say, you know, a human race of 8 billion people being targeted with advertising by corporate 500s that are the same ones that have the mining, the logging operations, the manufacturing, the distribution, the ships polluting chug-a-lug oil out of the oceans. I don't have that. Corporations are responsible for it from A to Z, yet they're going to blame you and me. And then we look up the interstate conflict. This will be the actual linchpin that will stop all commerce, regionally firewall countries and continents off, along with monetary, I say, interconnectivity for a while until we get on this UMU system here. So we're going to pull it out small first, natural resource crisis. Now, there's a couple things that are going to happen. I will get into the volcanic eruption that occurred in Russia just a little bit from now. But that Hunga Tonga eruption back in 2022 of January, the ozone depletion is now onsetting and it's visible. Go to the NASA ozone compilation page and you'll see that they're already starting to get ozone loss. Shouldn't even occur until August. See how far in advance it is, which means it's a runaway event. So everything we're going to see right now, the massive hailstorms that just pummeled, and I mean big, huge, grapefruit-sized hail, just ripped through Germany and Poland. And also that rain event down in Florida with 25 inches of rain in 7 hours. Like, these kind of events are going to continue and amplify, and watch the media jump on top of it as such. But notice how the cost of living crisis is interwoven in with the emergency of the climate, along with the economy and the blue, the supply chain collapse, and then we get the geopolitical instability. Now, these need to wrap into a package to create the ultimate outcome. So it's kind of like they're cooking or baking a cake. They need all the different ingredients to get the final product. Deception is the name of the main ingredient here. So if you're going to bake a cake, you know, your main ingredient is going to be flour. Well, their main ingredient is deception. And it starts with this map. And no, I'm not going to go into Tartaria, although I could, and lost technology and civilizations of past. I could run for days on that, but we're going to stick with Mercosur mapping. Now, at the equator, if you're going to create something on a circle, it's going to bend by the time you get up to the northern or southern pole, and you're going to have to accommodate for that. So Mercosur did a different mapping technique, and I put the yellow on there. What do you see, the yellow arrow? Well, it looks like Greenland to me. Now, how vast is Greenland? Everything's predicated on all the ice melting on Greenland, and when you look at this map, you go, man, that's a huge place. If all that ice melts, well, it's going to be a big thing, huh? Until you start to look at the reality of it and then realize the sample and the size distortion on what the size of the continents really are versus what the maps are showing. So the distortion of sizes, again, you know, is a distortion of lie, is a distortion of reality, distortion of size, distortion of narrative, blame. So many distortions going on at the moment. But Greenland is only the size of the Democratic Republic of the Congo in reality. So I circled it right there in orange so you can see the true size of Greenland. Now, if this map were to be used instead of maps that we see of Curran with the Mercosur on it, you would say, that's a little tiny island. How is that thing melting going to do anything to the rest of the planet? So again, the Mercosur, what is Mercosur? I'm focused on the South American trade bloc. I was doing a bunch of research, which we'll come into with the new agro dollar and the wine dollar that Argentina just unveiled. But Mercator, dark blue is the actual size of continent, landmass, whatever it is, versus using the Mercator bending of the planet. This is where the deception starts first. Look at Greenland. That dark blue is truly the size of it, not the light blue. So if you were to see that light blue and that all the world's problems are, you know, focused on Greenland ice melting, you looked at that and you go, no way, that is not going to do anything. Are you kidding me? Truly, that's what it is. You know, using the maps like this, and then, well, you know, I brought it out a little bit bigger on a horizontal map here so you can see it. Greenland is nowhere remotely close to the size that they show you and proclaim about all the ice melt. So since we are talking about ice melt, let's look at the true fact of the ice melt in past tense here. So 2022-23 is on the left side, and this comes from Polar Portal. Anybody can look this up. It's the Greenland ice mass balance. That's what you're looking for, the mass balance, if you're going to target your search. So the blue line is the current year, and that gray dark line in the center is the average. And then as you look up or below that, that's two standard deviations. And sometimes they'll swing it down to one standard deviation because it's gone outside, like 2016-17. That blue line is ice way above the averages, way above the averages. Way above the 1981 to 2010, that 30-year average, that's way above. And also 2017-18. And I would direct you to the far side of the chart where it's actually in June, July, August, where ice actually melts. Not the blue line running up in through winter. So we're looking at the actual ice melt here. So at the far right of the chart, and we see 2016-17 far above anything melting. And it's just, this is how the deception is used in the climate debate. And also the multi-decadal oscillation in the Atlantic Ocean, otherwise known as the AMO. It is on a 60-year cycle itself. And you might ask, well, why would I bring that up? Well, let's point some points out here. 1900s to 1920s, cold, drop. That's actually where the centennial minimum is, where we had the lowest solar activity in the last 130 years was that same exact point in around the year 1900. That's why I call it centennial minimum, the beginning of the new century. And then we had this 1960s, 70s cold, Buffalo Blizzard, remember that? So heat, cold, heat, cold. It's on a 60-year cycle, all natural, nothing you can do about it. I don't care how much CO2 you pump, it's not changing, it's doing its thing. And we can look over here. This is from Climate for You and just Earth Research Laboratory, Earth Systems Laboratory is putting this one out. Again, it shows the same thing that NOAA did. Now, what's so interesting is when we look at the Iceland temperatures here below Greenland, it matches up with that. Now, they're trying to explain away how it's going cold, saying that more heat in the oceans is causing more cloud cover and more snow, which is causing the temperature of Iceland to drop. But you can clearly see that there's a pattern to it. And lo and behold, it follows the same pattern. Look how cold it was far left of the chart in the 1900s. Goes up. And where does it drop off? Oh, right in the 1970s again, 60s and 70s on that downturn. Same as the Atlantic multidecadal oscillation. See, these are facts that a lot of people don't really look at. But see, this is what was needed to get this. Oh, look at the beautiful. I mean, those trees need to be cut down. They're putting out too much CO2. Those trees need to go. We just need this beautiful array of solar panels. Look at the glinting sun. It's like being on the beach for the insects and the bird life. This is what they're trying to sell you. And, oh, we don't need deserts or any types. Look how symmetrical that, oh, the beauty and the symmetry. Oh, and they're trying to sell you on this. The problem is the copper demand. Well, actually, the copper, so far, a little history lesson. In the last 3,000 years, we've mined 700 million tons of copper. To get to 2050 goals, they're going to need to double that. All in the last 3,000 years of all the copper ever mined, double it in the next 25. And you look and you scratch your head and go, that's impossible. Of course it's impossible. There's another agenda behind it to switch systems. Switch systems. And here you go. This is from J.P. Morgan, straight from the horse's mouth. Their current demand is the dotted line on the bottom of the chart. They're going to run into a zero or non-demand, non-deliverables because there just won't be any. And they're talking about December 31st or somewhere around October-ish. The current level of deliverable copper off the LME or any other metals exchange is going to run to zero. And they're still talking about doubling the entire last 3,000 years of production on the planet. That's not going to work. Yeah, you need to drive around cars that have 2.5 times more copper than the regular combustion engine. Well, that's a battery-operated vehicle, my bad. Plus all the copper and silver inside the panels, and you can run, you know, silver's going to run away in price anyway. There's a lot of can't-dos there. But why do they keep pushing it? That's the whole question. Why do they push the undoable? They need the narrative to continue. And here's another one. I know I harp on the climate sometimes because that's the base of all of the deception is this climate debate here to make you switch, and why you have to switch and eat bugs and drive, you know, 2.5 times more copper in a car, EVs. Now, this is, they're coming out, NOAA, saying March 2023 was what, the second warmest since 1849? Okay, here's your map. For those of you who don't know where the temperature stations are, there's very few in the middle of the ocean. And look where all the heat that they prove that the world's temperatures are running away. Most of the heating is in the oceans where there's actually no data coming from. There's no stationary buoys every couple of miles throughout the entire Pacific, Atlantic, Indian, and other oceans that you see out there. They're few and far between. Every, say, 100 square miles, 50 square miles, you might get one. Land-based temperature stations. Okay, let's compare an apple to an apple. If they're so omnipotent and they can see everything, 174 years, second warmest March. This is how many temperature stations there were in 1885. Yeah, so that gives the global total. They knew the exact temperature down to the square meter, the lower troposphere. They knew it all in 1885 with just a spackling of temperature stations. Yep, the lies continue. And it's all predicated on Greenland. It's got to be Greenland. So here's something that's going to throw a wrench into the cogs here, if you will. Just had this massive eruption in Kamchatka Peninsula of Russia. If you're unfamiliar, look it up on a map. I got a little sulfur dioxide cloud visual here coming up. 65,000 feet. It's actually risen to 72,000 feet now confirmed. Aviation has been halted across Alaska and anywhere. Now, we're going to look at 60 degrees north. This is a massive eruption, and I say massive. You know, these images they're putting here just makes it look like the run-of-the-mill, you know, Central American eruption, South American eruption. This is what happened. The magnitude of this is really off the charts. The amount of dust and sulfur dioxide going up is going to stay circulated around that 60-degree north latitude band and continue up to the North Pole. This is a massive eruption, massive. And, you know, magnetic coupling with Jupiter was the catalyst for this back on April 10th. Now, the left side here, what we're looking at is Chvilyuzh volcano and the sulfur dioxide emissions. So far off, that red is off the chart, literally off the chart. And it really disturbs me why they know there's all these off the chart events happening. Why don't they boost that up to, say, 350, 400, 500? So it's within the chart so we can see the true ranges. But that 59 degree north latitude or 57-ish, right in that range there, because the plume goes up to 59 or down to 55 degrees north latitude. Now, once you look on the right there, these are the cloud cells and the circulation patterns of our Earth. So there's three cells, the Hadley cell, obviously the most famous there from the equator up to 30 degrees north. So what's going to happen is all that ash is going to get stuck in that top 60 degree up to the North Pole band of our cloud cells, and it's going to get looped into that polar high, and the polar easterlies are going to grab all that ash and run it up into the North Pole, which means cooling this summer. You can't have that much ash go up in around. This is a major event. VEI 4, 5, possibly 6. They're still debating on it because they don't want to trigger anybody. Hey, that's a natural event that's causing cooling. So look for that. And amongst other strangeness on the planet, like I've never seen like this many starlings over a single place in my whole lifetime. Now, if you can explain to me if that is not a precursor to some sort of natural calamity inbound, because nature really can feel that electric shift either in the crust or in the atmosphere. And that's why animals behave strangely before earthquakes, tsunamis, etc. To see this many starlings launch off into the area as of yesterday, wonder what's going to happen over there. The golf ball and, like I say, this grapefruit-sized hail ripping through everything. Wow. So we need the interstate conflict now. And keep in mind that natural resources is all baked into the Greenland melt. Now, they need that to limit the amount of usage until the economy is reset. Because currently there can't be enough debt issued to get any ROI on that. The whole debt-based economy needs to ever, you know, increase and issue debt for it to continue on the Ponzi scheme. Well, that's over. They know it's over. Just like, keep it in tight. We're going to reset everything. After that, we're going to let it go. So I think that's part of the reason this whole green agenda to this point was to get things and keep them offline. Why has Africa never developed? Oh, the leaders who really cared about all their people were assassinated. That's why. That's why it's kept offline. It will be put online with a new debt cycle in the new 80-year for turning beginning right about now. So the interstate conflict will be another huge one. Look for more interruptions because of geopolitics in terms of oil trade, food distribution trade, and raw goods. All of this is going to happen, and they're going to need to track you and put you in a human zoo. So I cannot believe, with a straight face, that those in our elected bodies had voted to track every American. The U.S. digital identity bill passed through the Senate. Look at that, 11-1. What? It's going to head off to the Senate. It's going to go through the floor. I can't even believe that it was even approved for going off further afield to be voted on. This is a track and trace digital ID that puts a social credit score in play. Now, why would they do that? Well, they need to track you and your resources. The destruction that's going to accompany these natural as well as man-made economic collapse, they're going to want to know who's alive at the end of it. So you will be tracked. You're going to be put into a zoo. You want to harbor your animals and give them food and safety, because we are going to be relegated back to breeding stock for the plebeian class. That's their plan. CBDCs, I couldn't believe it. Spring meeting in Washington, D.C., the belly of the beast coming up. Who's there? World Bank, Bank for International Settlements, and the International Monetary Fund, all the bigs in the house. CBDCs are coming in. Why now? And the Universal Monetary Unit, or UMU, as they've called it, is here. Now, we were told that central banks were never working on anything central bank digital currency, that physical cash would be here, that all of you conspiracy theorists talking about CBDCs were overzealous, saying that the government was going to track you with digital identities and put in social credit scores and make you use CBDCs. Until that was just last year's conversation, that it was 50 or 20 or 30. It was in the future sometime, but you crazy people talking about it, it'll never happen in this decade. And here we are months later and they're rolling it out. Deception again at its highest levels. But you ask yourself, why now? Like, this tech was, you know, mature enough back 15 years ago to roll out. It's distributed ledger. It just moves faster. Why now? Well, if you start to add in all these planetary alignments coming up in 2024, and understand that the Earth's crust is going to behave very strangely, and all these different anomalies with UVB radiation striking the ground across the southern hemisphere, bolides rolling in, we're going to have meteor showers like you cannot believe coming toward the end of the year. And I will say, it was in Maine, Massachusetts, just yesterday. It was the first bolide that air exploded that they caught on radar. That's how close to the ground it was that just a regular weather Doppler radar caught off a near impact imploding bolide at very low altitude. And that was the first one that ever been captured in that part of the country on radar as an exploding bolide. This is the beginning of what I was termed, as somebody from a space agency told me, the year of fire is the way they termed it, straight up. The amount of bolides that are going to come running through. The disruption in our society is going to be caused by natural forces. These moneyed bankers are riding on top of that to ride the fear to get a faster and a more complete outcome. It's not just that's going to happen. Okay, people are going to be scared. Crops are going to stop growing in the southern hemisphere. Things are going to get toasted with the radiation. I got bolides everywhere. Hailstones the size of this come down will be the average hailstone. People will run for their lives when they see clouds gathering on the horizon, black clouds. That kind of world awaits us, and just now it's beginning. Now, riding through that, then how do you control it? How do you take advantage of it if you're nefarious to assure you have power and access to monetary control on the backside of that? You got to know the cycle onset, which was 2018. We'll talk about this when we come back right after the break. David Dubine, Mini Ice Age Conversations.
Many watching Bridie on TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual State Republican Dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Brighteon TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on Special Offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Brighteon TV exclusive offer.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTZEHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Hey, and welcome back for the second segment here. David Dubine, your host, Mini Ice Age Conversations, Brighteon TV. Thank you for letting me speak freely here. Before the break, we were talking about CBDCs and the International Monetary Fund unveiling its new UMU, unit of monetary, whatever you want to, monetary unit. Could they think of a better name? Okay, so we're going to roll through what is coming at the same time. We're coming into the chaos phase, if you haven't noticed. They need the chaos phase to now escape. See, what has happened over these last 2 or 3 years during COVID time, when you were told there were shortages, from my information, that was a redistribution of supply chains to send continuity of government supplies into their last locations for their last year of or years of preparation. We've reached that point. Now the chaos begins so they can make their speedy escape. It's like every, you know, suspense movie or army movie or shoot 'em up movie you've ever seen. They always have something blow up as a distraction, so then they run over there and get in whatever they're trying to break into. It's the same. They're going to blow it up. The economy, the supply chains, and everything's going to be so worried about just daily existence, companies, people, families, that they're going to escape the little rats into their underground chambers and ride out the natural calamities, or it's just a cycle. You know, it's come here before. It's been around. We've been through this many a time. The reset. Why are the legends always about fires in the skies and people emerging from underground again? Well, these same resets have occurred on a regular pattern before. And that's the key. Like the elite, they have the cycles understood through the last 500 years of pillaging the planet. You got all the manuscripts. You understand the codices. You got all the stele. You understood the cycle from start to finish. 26,000 years, two cycles, 52,000 years. You have to run through it twice to know it's a cycle. The first time you would have the information. Second time you would know, oh, it's coming again. We just entered into Aquarius, which is the water sign. And water and the sun, which is fire. How does water react with fire? Oh, extinguishes or reduces the heat. So again, you can take this in any way you like. We're talking about plasma current flows or solar winds. A reduction in that would also affect the magnetosphere of our planet and our electromagnetic field as such, meaning more earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, atmospheric cavitation and disturbances, and that's what we're seeing right now. It's all about magnetic interlocking with the sun that is now stepping down and changing its frequency. So we're with the sun, you know. 1.2 million times larger than Earth. The chaos phase is here, but they're not going to let it go to zero. See, that would be foolish to let everything completely collapse before you tried to reassemble it from ashes, literally. There's going to be some vestige of tech left that will allow the world to trade and transact during this time. No nation will be spared, but an international monetary system might still have some bastions and pockets. Because you got to look back. I'm trying to equate this to, say, the Younger Dryas era. You know, cometary impact on the ice sheet. We get these massive plumes of, you know, clouds coming up that encircle the planet for decades, plural. There were survivor pockets, mainly in Africa and in the other side of the planet, at way at the bottom. But there were pockets of survivors around, even though there was such a cataclysm that wiped out the planet. The biggest ones to date that is closest in. Anything that we've ever seen since, even the the Toba eruption 77,000 years ago, which was a VEI 8 plus, maybe VEI 9, is nothing in comparison to what the Younger Dryas was. They're looking at it the same way. Pockets of people will survive somewhere, somehow. If they have access to this digital thingamajiggy, then they still have control of the world's finance. So again, we're going to run through DCMA. This is the Digital Currency Monetary Authority. Notice that they have every flag there. This is truly a one world currency that we're seeing unveiled April 10th. And it's interesting, April 10th, Jupiter, Sun, and Earth in a perfect line. That is the same day the volcano erupted Shivolution, Russia, and the same day that the International Monetary Fund unveiled their new digital currency. So there had to have been something esoteric in the stars, the moons, the patterns of the planets for them to do that specific day. But electromagnetically, there was a coupling, which is verified now by these volcanic eruptions. So there's too many coincidences on the day that that happened that, you know, things were unveiled here. So let's go look at the DCMA. I'm going to read it for you. World leader in the advocacy of digital currency monetary policy for governments and central banks, commercial and retail banks, and other financial institutions. Self-appointed, like we just made our own organization. Why don't I call it David's Digital Currency Monetary? I'm going to be in control of all the banks. I'll just put another D in front of it. Okay. And I just made it up. That's what they did. They made it up. And then the UMU, Universal Monetary Unit, it's going to be called a Unicoin, which is very similar to a unicorn with all the rainbow garbage going on across the planet at the moment. These will be your new lexicon. You'll start to hear these more and more. DCMA and UMU, Unicoin. So I actually went there because I'm pretty familiar with cryptocurrency. I actually did a show a couple weeks ago showing you the blueprint on how they were going to use Hashgraph and Quant as the base layering to scale everything else, including XRP, which they referenced to be used for this as well, distributed ledger settlement. Lo and behold, we are here again. The best monetary rates worldwide. You have to sign up for it. I encourage everybody to take a look at the site. It's just umucash.com. Take a look at it. You got to register for it. Get in the back door. I downloaded the white paper. I still haven't read it yet. I want to get in there and see what they're offering or enslaving with. But the UMU rates are already here. It includes every single country on the planet. There's not one that's not there. Because, you know, I had traveled in Africa before, and there were not cross-swap rates between, let's say, Uganda and... where else did we go? Angola. Cross-swap rates, but you didn't have it. You had to use dollars or something in between. But here it gives you the option to cross-swap between the currencies using a base rate off the UMU, which is interesting. And down in Zimbabwe, that runaway event down there too. So the UMU coin itself is going to be pegged as the new world stable coin. That's why they're demonizing all the stable coins across the planet. That's why they're shutting down every crypto bank across the planet right now. I originally thought Circle was going to be the stablecoin used in the rollout of setting up a new grow zone across North Africa and the Sahel. Because there were going to be workers from every single nation coming to work and set up that new agricultural area. They would need to be paid in something that could be sent digitally. And there was no dollar, quote unquote, but Circle was there. And I thought Circle, along with XRP, and it would work something like this. Algorand was involved with that. But lo and behold, it comes out to be the Unicoin is going to be the same one equal around the planet digital currency stablecoin that will be accepted anywhere for any worker from any country can wire their money home. Now, again, you know, we get into this whole debacle of can they turn your money off at any time they want to? answer is going to be yes. So let's say you're a worker and you head up to, say, Chad, and you're up there for 2 years working away from your family. You got all these digital credits. You try to send them home, but you said something bad about the government, and then they lock all your funds so you can't really send your money back. Something like this. So everybody's going to have to be on their best behavior to enter the system. And people like me, a show like this would get me turned off of the system. I guarantee you it would. It's a, this innocuous and light of a conversation would have repercussions in the new system. And if you don't think otherwise, I'm sorry. You just need to pop that balloon and come back down to earth for a moment again. So to have all the rates already set for the official rates on a one-to-one exchange of stablecoin is a little unnerving for me how fast this has unveiled itself. From zero to, we got a world stablecoin, a one world currency, in a flash. Now, what's also interesting is Argentina, they are down so significantly on their crop production. This was anticipated anyway from the atmospheric disturbances. Uruguay's down, Australia's down, Indonesia's mucked up in rain. Their agriculture, some of the plantations up there with the palm oil are struggling. There's a huge amount of precipitation problems, Suriname also. And then if we go, just go across the equator, across the entire planet, all the way from like Ghana, Togo, Benin, these massive floods, Nigeria, just wiping out crop production. And then if you get down into Guyana and places in Venezuela, it's like a super flood, just like we saw in Florida, 25 inches of rain in 7 hours. Significant crop production damage across the entire planet, mainly focused on equator down further southern hemisphere. So they're starting their own off-chain, well above market, dollar for agricultural trade. It's called the agrodollar, but the true name is soy dollar three. They've already tried this program 2 times before, although the mistake they made was making it at parity with the exchange rate. And once they locked it, their inflation just kept running up and up and up. I think they're at 103% per year now, which means prices double every year. So they're starting the new dollar at well above. So then inflation will run up and catch that. So they're starting their own new dollar here just for ag trade in the country. It's outside the regular exchange rate mechanisms. It's outside the regular reserve currency status. It's its own new peg. They really issued their own new stable coin for trading against that can be cashed, you or I or the traders themselves, participants in the agricultural space. They issued their own stable coin for this, which shows you the power of blockchain, but it also can be enslaving like the World Bank is doing it. So 280 to 300, let's take a look there. 280 to 300 is what they're looking at for the peso rate, but the peso rate currently is 213. So you see they've already learned from their past mistakes to try to run it up. So if it goes to 280, they got 6 months in here at 100%. 50 more on top of that, it'll bring us up around 263, 270. Yeah, that's about right. So they knew their own inflation rate at 100% would buy them 6 months, and that'll take them through the trading year. And again, they'll have to revalue again once more. Now they've done the same thing for the wine peso here too, the wine dollar. So everything in the wine sector in Argentina, 20% reduced. So if you like wine, your wine price is going to go up. And Argentinian wines, I'm a fan. I really do like Argentinian wine, Chilean wines too. They lost 50% of all their crops this year. Now the wine was, you know, that's a higher elevation. It's a little bit different climate. It's not as impacted as just straight grain fields for the soy and the wheat. But, you know, if you're looking at grain crops, 50% reduction in Argentina. That's why they need this special reserve status dollars. So they've created two stable coins for two agricultural purposes. Now, this is the way it should be used, to give the ag people and the traders an advantage to be able to still make a living and still go out and plant your food, not to enslave you with a stable coin. So I do like the way that Argentina has taken the bull by the horns, no pun intended, a lot of cattle ranching down there. But the way that they took that and actually real world use case for our agriculture. That's what we need. Good use of it. Now, that's the chaos phase sort of on the monetary side. And we could see gold and silver running away. I cannot believe it's up. You know, you can't touch a maple leaf for under like $35 now. Can't touch any Eagles, American Eagles. I'm talking silver here for $45, $46. Even the Philharmonics are running $33 now. Really, the silver is just, it's starting to run now. It's going to continue to go up, creeping up incrementally here. There might be a pullback here or there, but the more people understand they need silver to protect wealth and pay your property taxes in the future, the more that is going to be wanted. And once BRICS gets a roll in and they really do back their currency by gold, then that price is definitely not going to stay at 2,000. Going to go much higher. Personal opinion, not financial advice. Now, chaos needs to be brought into the U.S., and it didn't seem that Antifa did a good enough job so far. So store closures are coming next. Amazon, your deliveries, your access to goods is going to be curtailed. Just understand that we are in the last phase of anything imported into the U.S. If you don't get it now, by next year, you're not going to get it, or it's going to be 3, 4, 5 times more expensive at the minimum. Because even the ports are closing and having strikes and reduced cargo, and China doesn't want to send things over any longer because we're at a adversarial, agitated, you know, near war state with them. They're just cutting off everything. So there's going to be a real constriction for goods coming into America. Amazon in itself is reducing its footprint. See, all these were slated to create 100,000s of jobs. These, just these on dots on the map here. These are being pulled back. And I was told a couple of years ago by somebody like, whoa, billionaire, an actual billionaire, was telling me, when they stop giving you free shipping in Amazon, that is the marker when the chaos or the beginning of the collapse starts. And here, lo and behold, just last week, they're saying they're closing all these warehouses. And they're going to start to charge for some shipping, which is very close to not 100% of full, every you buy, you pay everything for shipping. But it's nudging toward that, way closer than anything we've seen so far. So think about this. All these Amazon things, they close. So where are you going to get your goods from? Well, you're going to need to go to your local store. And Walmart's closing amok everywhere, are they not? And this is the chaos. So think about all the mom and pop businesses getting closed. They're all a bit diluted, flash mobbing. They made the conditions of such that mom and pop businesses are out of business. COVID especially, bam, just crushed them all. Now we got the bigs that are closing, mainly in low-income, high-crime neighborhoods and areas. Okay, so you got massive amounts of retailers closing. If I need stuff and I'm in a low-income part of town, where am I going to go? I'm going to drive up to the nice part of town. But you know how that's going to work out, like oil and water? They want the chaos. They want that to overflow and create fights and disturbances and, you know, things I see happening in some of these places. If it was here in Tennessee and that same thing was here and I needed to defend my wife, there'd be a very big problem in those stores. And almost everybody here is the same way. Like things, I talk to friends and we see these crazy videos. That wouldn't happen here because people would actually stand up and do something about it. See, this is the difference in, you know, if you're around crime your whole life, you're just like, whoa, don't look, don't say anything, whatever. But in some areas, people actually still want to protect their communities. So they want that. They want that clash. They need that clash to create the chaos, to get the troops in the stores, to get your digital rationing cards out. Show ID before you go in the store. Prove your funds before you get in the store. They need it. That's all part of the plan. And they're also telling you which banks are going to close in 2023. HSBC, Lloyds, and Barclays, right along with Credit Suisse. Now, your ability to bank is also going to be affected. Where are you going to go to bank? If your regional bank's out of business, oh, are you going to be left to JP Morgan, Bank of America, and what other shysters are out there? I guess so. Zillow's given us a little lift off and hint, wink, wink, where things are going to go. So the green is a 10% increase in property values. By the way, I got smacked with a much bigger assessment here in Tennessee. Our prices went up tremendously. I was like, are you kidding me? That? What? All right. Red is the declines, 10%. Now, this is November 2022 to 23. Now, notice November 23, and then we just jump back to September 23. September 22 to 23, the dark blue is only at 5%. So wait a second. You're going from 5% to 10% jump in a two-month period. What do they know that we don't? That's absurd. 10% increase prices on land, homes in a single year? That's insane. Up from 5%, which was insane itself. Generally, you're looking at a 1 to 2, 3% on outstanding markets for real estate values rising. Not 5, not 10%. So again, the bigs, they all understand something hyperinflationary this way come. You don't get 10% rises on average through the entire scape of real estate unless something big is planned. I just do simple math. and something big being planned. Simple math, two planes, three buildings. What did this bring in for us? The never-ending surveillance state. Primed and ready to jump and pounce at right this time when the citizenry will become angry and unruly because they don't have enough food to eat. Think about that for a second. Look at the junctures and the stages of pre-positioning assets over the last 30 years. 9/11 comes, look at all the cameras, look at all the digital, everything. You have no more privacy, everything's listened to. If you haven't been paying attention to that, then you wouldn't know the reference to this here. Three buildings, two planes, your rights. I should put a fourth there. Your rights gone. Two planes, three buildings, and American rights. Now to leave us with something a little happier here. Oh, and by the way, I did, the COVID thing also has reduced all those 24-hour stores. Remember all, Walmarts and CVSs and anything used to be 24-hour stores. Those hours have greatly been reduced down to 8 hours, 10 hours now, some places. So the availability for you to go at any time, day or night, has also been slashed. This is a soft curfew for everyone. If all your supermarkets are closed and your drugstores are closed and everything's closed by 8 o'clock, who are the people on the streets? You don't really have to call a curfew. If there's nothing out open, most people would stay home anyway. Very easy to track, 20 times less traffic on the road than it would be to have all the stores open and people going about their business all the time. Now to bring in something positive here, the moon over the last 28 days, it's pretty interesting how it does that figure. It's a cycle also. The cycle of civilization has been timed out. I'll ask the simplest of questions. Why has all of this occurred? They knew the cycle was inbound with my channel, Adapt 2030. Been following it since 2015, 16, and it was really starting to show around 2018, the amplification 10X on old records, 5Xs. It really was showing that this is it. We've entered a new phase of climate. Grand solar minimums, onsetting disturbances will affect crop production. Well, then we had the 2019 repo crisis, where there needed to be an excuse to produce as the most amount of money ever produced in human history without anybody blinking an eye. COVID. Well, that gave enough chance to buy everything up, fill the supply chains full of goods. Not for me and you, there were shortages, but to send everything underground for continuity of government. Stall for a couple more years on a collapsed debt system anyway. Let it collapse. That is the distraction. We're being played. The cycles are known. It's all cycles. It's all natural. It's not CO2. It's not you. It's the sun. So how do we take our planet back is the question. Keeping this vibration of understanding that you can bend reality now, the vibration's a little faster and groups of people can bend reality at a faster tick. And it's just about standing up as a united planet and just saying no. You don't even have to do anything except saying no, I will not accept that and I will not partake in your system. And if enough people don't, dead on arrival, they're going to have to do something different. If 75% of the world's population said no, we're not going to use your unicorn, your UMU, it wouldn't move forward. It simply wouldn't. It would stop. We'd have to think of a new system. It's just getting people to that point just to say no. That's the most dangerous thing for governments, when people don't participate and just say no. That's your right as a human. Exercise that right. David Dubine signing off. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.